Well, it could be hailstorms. It'd be an attack of Mongolians. It's just the lunch schedule screw up, the breakfast schedule screw up. So we got enough of us here. I think we can start our morning session. We have with us today two good applications that are based upon Lisp-like languages. This is the base built up, so this is a perfect good demonstration of things that there's industrial strength built on Lisp technology and probably done better. So we're going to hear about them. The higher order, the HOP language for web services, Web 2.0, is very interesting. I've looked it up on Manuel's website, and I'm really interested in it. And then the next talk, which we'll introduce later, on Racer and Screamer systems written in Franz Lisp. So without further ado, let's let Manuel Serrano from INRIA begin and show us the things that a Big Blue compiler can do and what Scheme can do for you.
Thank you. So since a couple of years, we started to see a new kind of application that expose fancy graphical user interfaces and that grab information that is available all over the network. And by this application, I'm typically thinking of the mashups that are built on top of Google Maps that combines maps provided by Google and, let's say, the information made available by your real estate agency, and that lets you expose in an interactive way the places where are the free apartments to rent, for instance. So we have plenty of applications that are available now, and maybe the first one was the Google Suggest stuff, that was something like an incremental search on the Google database. And in the first place, I have been fascinated by this application. First, because they were entirely new. Let's think just 5 years back in the past, we were just unable to imagine such application. So they were new because they were offering new facilities, new functionalities. And also, they were new because me, personally, I had no idea in the first place how to program such application. So I have been quite interested by this field, and I have tried to make a contribution, and for me, making a contribution, more or less, yeah.
The breakfast was a bit late, that's why people are a bit late in coming in, so there's going to be some noise while you're talking. So could you use the microphone, please?
Yeah, but no, I won't, because my computer is here and I will be needing it. I will try to speak louder, and if I don't...
Thank you.
I think the noise will stop. If people in the hallway were alerted that we're starting now, they just came in, I think that's going to be the last of the big noise.
So, my contribution is to design a new programming language for programming this kind of application. So, my main focus, my main goal was to provide a language where a very simple application such as Hello World is not a huge program, but just a very obvious one with just maybe two lines. So, this is what I'm going to try to convince you that HOP is at least a small step in this direction and maybe help you for programming this kind of application. So, in the first part of this talk, just in order to make myself clear, I will demonstrate an application that I have built using these technologies. And this application is actually a kind of meta demonstration because it is the application I'm currently running for projecting the slides. So, this is an HOP application. From slide to slide, I will show more complex stuff. I will start with a very obvious one, such as this one, just a picture and a title. And even maybe you can do this in LaTeX. It's not that clear because this is not computer modern form, so even switching the font with LaTeX, well. So this one is pretty obvious. And from slide to slide, we'll see more fancy stuff. This one, maybe you can do it in LaTeX. I don't. I can't do it because I'm not skilled enough with LaTeX. Because it uses animations. And, okay, you will tell me this is not that fancy, you are not that amazed by this slide, because, let's say, with PowerPoint, you can do this very easily. Sure, that's true, but we'll see if you can do the next one. This one looks familiar, looks usual. It's a title, a definition of a function, expressed in the language we like, and the drawing of that function on a certain range. Well, quite familiar, but it is not that usual, and the unusual aspect is here. I can just actually mark the definition of the function. I can change it, and the curves update. So you see, maybe you can do that with PowerPoint, I don't know. Maybe you can do it, but the definition of the function probably won't be expressed in that language. It will be something like Visual Basic, and that's not what we want, right? So let's switch, let's go to the next slide. So this one is really peculiar. It's really unusual. It's a title and actually a rep. This is a rep. So I will type in expression here. So I will first grab an element. I id document and I grab the element called peculiar. And great, I have it. And you see, this is an unusual rep because this is a kind of reified rep. I will speak about the slide itself in the expression I will type in. So the first thing I will do on my element is I will make it red. So I will say dot style set x color red. Great, here we are. So I'm really changing the slide on the fly with my language. I will do a last thing, more complex one. Here we are. So this is really an interpreter of what you see now, which can access the slide itself. And because of the name I'm using, it's also now quite obvious that this is actually an interpreter with a DOM. And it's also clear that this slide is just an HTML page that I'm just manipulating with my language. So this is actually a system that is entirely built on top of web technologies, if that means something. So in the first slide we saw, and I gave you some demonstration of the kind of thing we are able to do from the graphical point of view. And now in this demonstration I will illustrate the distributed aspect of the web. So here in our system we have a wiki with a regular wiki syntax. The only exception we have is this comma parenthesis that lets you introduce expression of the language inside the wiki syntax. And what I will do now is I will start a new window, a new Firefox window. And you see now when I type in character, these windows get updated. So here in this demonstration, everything happens as if three computers were involved. The one where I type in my character, the keystrokes are intercepted by one computer. Another one compiles the wiki syntax into HTML, and a third one makes a rendering of this HTML page. So if you are not really convinced that this is distributed, I will run a Mozilla. Okay. Oops. So here is Mozilla. And I will spawn a Conqueror window too. Here we are. I will shrink it down a little bit. And now, when I type something new, only two guys get updated. I don't know what. Maybe I close the wrong tab here. Never mind. So here I have my Firefox and my Conqueror that are just synchronized, and the two get updated at the same time. So this, now I have added a new computer. This Conqueror is a new computer. So you see, with Hub, you can implement application where everybody is aware of the changes and you can somehow broadcast information to your client. So, I will close this, and I will close this guy. So that's it with this slide. Of course, my point here is not to give you a demonstration of my application for authoring the slide. My point is really to focus on the language I have been using for implementing this application. So now, after this introduction, I will start digging into the language. I will give you a more precise idea of what it means programming with Hub. So this is a joint work, which is actually done at INRIA in southern France and Sophia Antipolis, with a a colleague of mine and a student of mine. So our goal here is really to provide you with a new programming language for implementing these applications that will rest on web technologies. And our idea is that the web is now powerful enough to be used as a replacement of a regular graphical user toolkit. For instance, TK, GTK. I think that now with web, you can do as fancy graphical user interface as with this system. So we think that the web is now mature enough for be considered that as a replacement. And the nice thing with the web is when you are able to make a web page, it is available everywhere. It runs on all the systems, so you have portability for free. And if I was running Firefox on Windows, you will see the very same thing. And you really get this for free. Actually, it's, how can I say, it's really, it's live forever. If you consider your first web page as the one you have written in, let's say, in the middle of the 90s, if you try to render it with Firefox today, it will still work. You will still get it. On the other way around, consider a motif application when you spawn it on your computer. It really looks like old-fashioned, and that's not something you want to use. So the web has this nice property. And the also very nice property of the web is that it's de facto distributed. When you have a web application, you can use basically wherever you want on the planet. You can start an application when you are at the office, working on it. You go back home, and you can respawn your application at home. You can resume your application at home. And that's really a nice property we have with the web. And that, for me, I think opens the path to a new kind of application. So now, some words of architecture and more precision on the way we are using the web. On this picture, this is a traditional web, the web 1.0. Basically, you have a bunch of clients that ask requests to a server. In order to satisfy the request, probably the server has to ask database somewhere what is the information available. They make a new page based on this information, and they provide information to the client. This is not exactly the way we are using the web. We are using it slightly differently, and we introduce this notion of a broker. And your application actually doesn't connect to a regular web server, but to a broker. And this broker, you can consider it as a dedicated web server, dedicated for your application. And most of the time, frequently, your broker will be running on the same machine as your graphical user interface. For instance, today, my broker makes the rendering of the slide, and clearly it runs also on my laptop. So Firefox and the broker are running currently on my laptop. And so you see, I'm not using the web in exactly the traditional way people are thinking of the web. So I ask something to my broker, my application asks something, and in order to be able to fulfill the request, the broker asks to ask information to a server, let's say to Google, in order to fetch a map. And if you want to write a mashup, you will have to contact Google to get the map, and the real estate agency to get the available apartment, and maybe, I don't know, the transportation company in order to get the schedule from one place to another. And so this is really the job of the broker. The broker is able to ask and to make requests over the network, and it synthesizes all this information, and it produces an information that it gives back to the client. So this broker now is really a full-fledged web server. So if you want to make an application that is available not only for you, today I'm the only guy that is able to access a slide, but maybe I want to do applications that are available for, let's say, my entire family, for instance, for displaying photographs or for broadcasting music, I want to grant access to the broker to specialized users. So this is, on this picture, the typical way we use Hub. We have a broker that is dedicated for one application, and we grant access to dedicated users. In general, we don't open a Hub application to the entire planet. Of course, we can do that. And if you go to the machine hub.inalia.fr, it is running a Hub broker that is available for the entire planet for downloading the system. So, now let's start to focus on the language by itself. Programming with Hub is really programming the relationship in between the broker and the client. So this is what I will present now. What happened in the middle, in between these two guys? So, very general part of your app. App is intrinsically a distributed system. You have two computation engines. One computer, which implements broker, is able to access all the resources of your computer. For instance, it is able to access your disk, it is able to initiate network transaction, and things like that. And on the other way around, you have the client, which is only able to display the interface, manages the interaction of the user, but it is not aware of the computer, it is not able to open a file on the disk. So you have these two separated guys, which uses two separated heaps in our terminology, and actually the system just gives you a unified way of programming these two guys at the same time. So you have two execution engines, but what you will see is that you have only one program that simultaneously describes the behavior of these two guys. So this is a particularity of the system. It is distributed, it is parallel, but you write only one source code that describes the entire program. So here we are. You have the broker, you have the client, and in the middle, you have your program. And in your program, you have annotation that lets you specify this is a broker part or this is a client part. And on this picture, the red part is the client part and the blue part is the client part. So you just mix up these two, actually. And the name of the game with up is that from the client part, you can refer to expression of the broker and, of course, the other way around. So it's really distributed parallel, but you use somehow a shared namespace. So it's convenient to program this separated execution with up. So that's it for the introduction, and now I will try to actually show actual code. And I won't give you a specification of HOP, I will just give you some example in order to give you a chance to understand what HOP is and what it looks like to program with HOP. So it's just a bunch of examples, nothing more. So this first slide is just to convince you that if you know HTML, you know HOP too. But well, this slide is mostly intended for people that are not Lisp or not schema, but just people that are used to the web, to the regular web. So the basic idea of HOP is, of course, just to use a S expression syntax instead of XML. So it's just really obvious for us. It's just we get rid of these closing markups and we use parentheses. And well, that's much better. We are all convinced that that's much better. The other important difference in between HOP and HTML is that in HTML, when you want to specify client code by the means of JavaScript, you use just strings of characters. So this is a client code, and it's just a string. So if it's badly formed, if it contains error, and so on and so forth, on the server, at least, no one will tell me there is something wrong here, because it's just an opaque string of characters. With HOP, that's different, because the client code is expressed in the very same syntax as the broker code. So it's still an S expression. So I still have the entire power of manipulating S expression. So it is syntax. It is not a representation of the program. And you see, from a syntactic point of view, in order to introduce a client code, you just use strings. And here, we mark a client code with this red tilde sign. And the meaning of this sign is the S expression that follows this sign will be executed on the client, not on the broker. Your application starts on the broker, and if you want to specify something on the client, you just say TF before, in front of it. So, in this first example, I was using a table of three lines, that's fine. But, of course, at some point, you will have to generate your HTML page. So, imagine that you want to write a table of 1,000 lines. You can't do it by hand, so you will have to generate it. And the regular way of generating it with the traditional web technology is to use ASP, GSP, PHP, you name it. There are plenty of them. So, on the top is a PHP example. And the idea of PHP is just inside or in the middle of an HTML file, you introduce an escape markup, which is this question mark PHP. And in this markup, you just you specify an expression of PHP. You evaluate this expression of PHP, and this produces an output, which is supposed to be a well-formed HTML document that will be inserted in and replace the PHP markup. So one more time, you are back to programming with string, and you have to write PHP programs that generate strings that are supposed to be HTML document. With hub, of course, we won't do it like that. We will just use list and generate expression and use constructor. It's a very common way for us. So these two programs are just equivalent. And you see here, so my table, this yota function just generates a list of three elements. And I iterate with a map car for us. And I apply this function on all the elements. I build table rows with table data. And you see here, this is a client expression because it is preceded by a tilde sign. And inside a client expression, you have another escape operator, which is a dollar sign, that lets you escape from client code and switch back to broker code. So this I here refers to this I, which is a I of the broker. Okay? So now, three-tier programming. This is not the main focus of Hub, but however, you can program three-tier application with Hub. So on the top, a PHP example that access make a SQL request and that grab element from a table and that produce an HTML table. One more time, you just generate strings that happens to be, well, that have to be well-formed HTML document. In the bottom, the same version in Hub. So more or less, it is as concise as the PHP version is. And just to give you some syntactic elements, is create an instance of the class SQLite, and you just instantiate a database. And here you make a request, and on the result of that request, you iterate, and you just apply this function on all the rows that are provided by your request. And you construct table rows, table data, and you apply this markup as regular function. And so you see this is another huge difference with HTML, is markups are values. We can use them as we are used to. And we can pass them as argument, we can return them as result, and so on and so forth. So this property is very important for us. Clearly, from the strict XML point of view, what we are doing is just crazy, because we lose a regular framework for checking that an HTML page is well-formed. So we can't statically predict that it is well-formed. You can't apply validators and stuff like that on a program. But we think that it is not as important to have these capacities of checking statically your document as the fact that you are able to create your own markups, which means create your own libraries. For instance, your own widget libraries for implementing your own graphical user interfaces. So for us, a markup is just a function. You define them as functions, and that's it. So now we are able to create a runtime system for Hub that will help you when you would like to write fancy stuff. So now, what it means to execute a Hub program. I have just given you a vague idea of what it is, of what a Hub program looks like, what it is to execute it. First, a client asks something to a broker. So the first time, the client says, I want this information. The broker maybe has to dynamically load some new code in order to be able to reply something to the client. Maybe in order to be able to produce a useful result, the broker will have to ask something to remote servers. It grabs all the information that is available. It produces a new response that will be a Hub program. And this Hub program will be sent to the client. And now your execution starts in parallel. So the broker and the client will execute at the same time. And you see on that picture, I have used two different size of rows for the broker and the client, because one more time, these two guys are not able to do the same thing. The broker is able to access all the resources of your computer. It is able to implement long-lasting computation, CPU-demanding computation, and he is able to do all the things, except the things that have to do something with the graphical interface, that which are the field of the client. The client can't access the resources of the computer, but it manages the interface. And you are not supposed to implement long-lasting computation on the client, because basically your program does not run at the same speed on the two guys. On the broker it's fast, on the client it's slow. So you really have to organize your program this way, and to have in mind that you have two different guys with two different skills. So, in the first place, when you load a program and when you produce a response, you have to implement, well, in Huck, we have implemented what we call this elaboration stage, which consists in producing a well-formed HTML document that you can send back to the client. And the main goal of this elaboration stage is to get rid of this dollar sign. So we have a stage in the compiler that just gets rid of this dollar expression. And for us, the analogy is quite obvious. We have this tilde which corresponds to backcode, and this dollar which corresponds to uncode. So the elaboration stage just replaces this program by this one. And so you see here, we have a global X variable, which is a X that belongs to the broker. We have a local one here that belongs to the client, because there is a tilde sign here. And so in this expression, when I say X, because I'm in the middle of a client expression, this X is a client X, and this one, this dollar X, is a broker X. So this one is replaced by this actual value which is here. And so you see now in this example that after a dollar, you are not restricted to just identifier, but you can write arbitrary expressions. So this one is replaced by this one. And so that's it. You are done with your program. This is a regular program that you can ship to the client. And this is the second one that will get executed. So now I will show additional examples just to give you an intuition of what it means in practice to use Hop. So we have a very simple program. I will run this demo first and I will explain it after a while. So here we have a sentence, and when the mouse flies over a word, it just disappears. So how is that implemented? Oops, sorry. I have my sentence with my three words, the lady vanishes, which are placed in three boxes. And for each box, I said, when the mouse flies over one box, just execute this client code, which means basically makes the word invisible, or this one just gray. That's it. Quite obvious, quite simple. But you see here, you have just one formalism. You express your whole program in one formalism. And when I click on demo, what I execute is exactly this code. I'm not lying. This is nothing elsewhere hidden under the carpet or something like that. So the next one is more complex. So I will execute the demo and I will explain it one more time after a while. So I have a button, three elements. When I click on the button, I rotate my element. Okay. So this is just stupid, but you can imagine that such stuff can be useful in practice. We have a table, and when I click on the row, I order the table. So this is a very same demonstration, but this program is of course more complex. So how is that implemented? On the broker, we start building our graphical user interface. We say you have an HTML, a list of three elements, foo bar g, and you put it on a box, which is called a div. So EL is our tree here. It is placed on a box. And I have a button with a message rotate. And each time I click on the button, I execute this code. And this code just swaps the elements. So this code fetch the tree. And you see now there is something unusual, which is that this tree here is used here on the broker, here and here on the client. So the same data structure, you can use it either on the broker or the client. Mm-hmm. And you are able to build a tree on the broker and to manipulate it and to change it on the client. Okay? So I grab my tree, I get the first node, the first children, the first elements, the second one, and I just grab them and that. So it's really one more time a shared namespace, because EL one more time is a data structure that exists on the client and the broker. And in this program, the only boundaries you see are due to this tilde and dollar. But you don't have to manage identity by yourself. You don't give names to data structures such as the way you have to do with regular web technologies. So next example, or next feature, managing data structure is nice, but it's not enough. What you need is to be able to invoke a function on the broker from the client. So we do this with this construction service on the top, which defines a function. Basically, service is equivalent to lambda, except that it's a function that you can call from the client. So just think that service is lambda, and with up is something like an asynchronous apply. With up invokes a service, and when the service completes, it executes the callback, and V is a result of the execution of the function application. So with up, if you want, is something like an RPC. So how do we use that? I give you a demonstration first. So remember that because of security issues with a regular application, a regular web application, you are not able to scan your disk. And that's what I will do here. When I click on this, I will execute du-skey on my computer. So we are, and this is the result, the files and the file size. So how is that implemented? I have my button, du-skey. When I click on it, I execute this client code, which invoke the CMD service, which is defined here, sending it a parameter, which is /tmp. And when I get the result, I put the result of this evaluation into this box, which is written here. So my console here is just a display of the result of the function invocation. How is the service implemented? This is the basic function here that, This function actually scans the disk. It is the real function that does something on my computer. And this produces a list of file names. From that file name, I construct an HTML table. Each row is made of the name of the file, he, and the file size of that file. Okay? And so you see now that on the broker, I have dynamically built a new document, a new table, and I ship that to the client. And now the question with up is, where do you want to put your computation? This construction of this new HTML document, you can put it on the broker, but you can also put it on the client. So I will show you a revised version of this program where I translate the construction of the table from the broker to the client. So on the second version, my CMD service only scans the disk and only constructs a list of a kind of air list of file name and file size. And now you see that the result of CMD is no longer an HTML document, but simply a regular list as we are used to. And we ship this list to the client, and now the client here in V, instead of getting an HTML document, just get a list, it iterates over the list, and it constructs a table locally. So here you see the only thing that I can't translate from or can't move from the broker to the client is the function directory to list and file size, because this requires access to the disk, and the client is not allowed to do that. So when you program with up, you really have to be aware that there are several solutions, and you have to decide where you want to put your where you want your computation to take place. So I will skip this example. So now I will explain in this slide how do I have implemented the demonstration where I started Mozilla, Conqueror, and the wiki. I will show you the implementation of the wiki demonstration, but just slightly simplified version, but you will get the basics. So the idea is that we have event, and clients that are interested by an event may register to an event, and the broker may just broadcast or signal that there is something associated with that event, and all of a sudden, all the clients that are interested are aware and are notified. So this program is complex, and I apologize for that, but I have not been able to make something more simpler to give you the idea of what is going on. So one more time, I run the demo and I explain the code after one. So in this demo, when I click, I pop a new interface. When I click on this run, this creates a new window. And this window is full of numbers. And when the number, when the mouse flies over the numbers, the other guy is aware where the mouse is. So this is an unusual web application because these two clients somehow communicate, and you are not allowed to do that in the regular web. So how is that program? Here are the numbers. And each time the mouse flies over one of these numbers, this function is invoked. And this just say, I invoke notify function of the broker sending as parameter the position of the mouse, the numbers under the mouse. And this notify service here just signal that, oh, the mouse has moved, and here is the new value associated with the mouse. So all the guys that are interested by event, which is a first class value that is being created here, are aware of this modification and are able to do something. So here is the client that is interested by event. So this is somehow a kind of event loop. And this handler specifies that when event is signaled, execute this code. And this code just means grab the value associated with the signal and display it in red here. Okay? So what's important here is that the client is not doing active wait. It is not doing busy wait. It's just dormant, and when the broker broadcasts a signal or something, it wakes up the client. So I think that's it for the language. Oh no, one more point, sorry. Well, that is very nice. Now you are able to implement a hub program. So the question is, how do you start it? Where do you put your hand on the system to start your program? The idea is just, in addition to service, we have another form, which is defined service, which is equivalent to define it on service, but in addition, it creates xnilo or URL that you can use for starting your program. So if you want to write a whole program, you just say define service, blah, blah, and then from your server, from your browser, you are able to type in http://blah, blah, and that's it, your program starts. So that's it for the language. Now, just some few additional words about the runtime system and the kind of library we provide in order to facilitate your life when you want to write graphical user interface. So we have plenty of widgets. We have Notepad, you name it. And some of them are interested now because they illustrate the kind of thing we are able to do and the kind of abstraction we are able to give you by the means of this widget. And so one I will focus on is just widgets that display trees. So in the left part, the yellow part, there is a code, and on the right side, this is an execution of this actual code. So one more time, everything is here. So this is a tree, and it lets you walk over a recursive data structure. And this tree, I can unfold nodes, and here we are. It is a regular tree, so I can just leave, and so on and so forth. Okay, so how is that implemented? I say directory to tree with the directory with the current directory where up is actually running. And this is a recursive function, and you see here are the recursive calls. I say I build a tree with a label which is the name of the directory. I get all the files in the directory, and I construct either recursive tree or just leaves. Okay? Quite simple, quite usual. This is nice. But this has a strong limitation. It can work only on small trees. Because when you construct this call, you are constructing a tree that is representing actually your disk. So if you invoke to tree on slash, you will get something representing 2 gigabytes of memory. So you will produce a tremendous tree, probably one that won't be able that you won't be able to ship to the client, and that probably too large for the client either. So you cannot really use this widget as it is. So we have to introduce a new construction which lets you introduce lazy tree. That is trees that you unfold just on demand. So now I have my second version and I use it on slash. Here I have slash, and when I unfold slash, I actually, at that time and only at that time, make a request to the broker and ask him, okay, unfold slash and give me the new tree. And so the only modification I have applied to my program is I have introduced this delay construction, which is freezing the computation. And actually, I start the very same way, but now the nodes are unfold only when the client clicks. And so at that point, there is a communication that is established in between the client and the broker, and the thing is going on. And you see here, you don't program with WizHub or services, but they are just under the scene. It just means that the widget is handling this for you. And if you want to provide an abstraction layer where you get rid of this service, you can do it using such features and such widgets. So, maybe if you want, I can just stop there because we want to. 5 minutes more? Okay. So, maybe what I will do is during the last 5 minutes, instead of showing additional features of the system, I will just show you how to program Hello World with Up, just to convince you that it's simple. So, I will just Hello World. So, I start Emacs and I will open a file which is work. So here we are. This is Hello World. So this is a simplified version of Hello World. So this is just a service with one parameter and which produces an HTML page that says hello. If I want to run this program, automatically, when the system started, it checked out where are the program available, and it has found out that there is foo, and if I click on foo, I have executed foo with a URL foo. And if I want to see, to say, Lisp, oops, sorry, what happened? Oh, why isn't it working? Bad demonstration, maybe. Sorry. I have forgotten to say foo, yeah. And here we are. So this is Hello World, and so this is three lines.
Thank you. We have time for some questions.
Yeah.
Have you given any thought to security policy or security model?
Yeah. So right now, the question was, are we concerned or have we made some work on security issues? And for now, the only thing we are doing is just relying on traditional security provided by the web. So we are able to do HTTPS, and we have the authorization of the web, but nothing more. And we are absolutely aware that it's not enough, because probably with UP you are able to access the resources of your computer. So probably right now, UP is just welcome to pirate, and don't use it if you have important data on your disk. So that's something we must do.
Yeah. How do you distribute your broker?
How do I distribute my program? What do you mean exactly?
The broker only. If you are a web user, yeah. You want to use a hub service, yeah. Let the broker come to you.
No, it doesn't come to your computer. You have to download it and to install it, or to use a remote broker, which you can do. But the broker is something like, let's say, Apache. A very small type of Apache, easy to manage, but it's an executable such as Apache service. So we don't have automatically a mean for automatically installing the broker. We have mean for automatically installing web application, but not the broker itself.
How large is the code behind the hub?
It's something like what actually up is a runtime system, a full-fledged web server, multi-threaded web server. It uses two compilers, one native compiler for the broker code and a hub to JavaScript compiler. And if you consider the whole stuff with these two compilers, it's something like, let's say, 200,000 lines of scheme code, something like that. 300,000, more or less. I don't know who said
industrial size.
Yeah. But if you don't consider the native compiler, it's I think 50,000 lines of code. Just client code compiler.
Can you bind to other mouse actions also? Not only left mouse, left click?
Yeah. Shift, Control, 5 buttons. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The very interactive application with the browser actualizing extremely fast. Does the user have to change the firewall settings or?
Just like that.
If you need to install a client-side program, why go through the hop of using the web browser as the user interface instead of just a normal client graphical user interface?
Excuse me, say that again, I don't understand your question.
If you install a client-side program anyway...
What do you mean by you install the client-side?
Well, the broker runs on the client.
Not necessarily. It's a server. So if you are a company, for instance, and you want to, I don't know, make available a program for educational games, you can just host the broker on your machine, and the client gets connected to your broker, and that's it. So you don't ask them to install necessarily the broker on their machine. It's just up to you. Does this answer your question?
Yeah, and how do you envision using HOP, mostly using remote brokers or local brokers?
Personally, I use both. Mm-hmm. I have always one broker running on my machine, but I have also a machine at my work and at home that I'm using remotely. For instance, at home, I broadcast my music when I'm in my office, because in my office, I don't have the right to have my MP3 files on my state machine disk, so...
One last one. So in my mental model, as you were saying it, I was thinking broker means server like Apache, and client means a browser like, okay. So server-side applets and client-side applets, it seemed like they're passé now. You don't even need plugins because you have uniform code on each side.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yes, sure. You don't need plugin, you have only one language.
Yeah.
And you don't have the price to pay between, for instance, your server and CGI stuff, and this is permanent with...
Whoa. This is a fire hose of ideas.
Yeah.
Is the source code available?
Yes, sure. Up.inaya.fr.
Okay.
And
what
you have a...
What license?
GPL. So
it's
just...
That's
a free one.
Rapid question.
How difficult did you find it to present a portable programming interface, given that you have to build it on different implementations of JavaScript, CSS? How do you make it work on Firefox, i.e. Conqueror?
I do this for you. Actually, we have a runtime system where you say not style set. You don't directly use the affectation of the field of the CSS property. And not style set, when you just install the program on the client, we have something like an autoconf script that is running, and they say, okay, this is Firefox, great. We provide you the Firefox version, and this is Explorer. That's that for you, and we try to do something as good as we can. But it's just transparent.
Last question.
That's actually just two small questions. It's, first question is to scale the back button. Do you handle that properly?
No, that's another issue, and we have to do something about it.
And the actual second question is CSS.
Yeah, so maybe I can rephrase the first question. How do we handle the back button? And actually, with HUP, right now, today, we have lost the back button. And you will miss it if you use HUP. And we have some ideas in order to be able to do something for you. And the other question is, what about CSS?
Yeah.
We have full-fledged CSS, but you can insert expression inside CSS. So for instance, you're able to say, define background color red, and use a variable background color everywhere in your attribute of your CSS. So that's it. We have a hub version of CSS, but just the CSS syntax plus the $ sign inside CSS.
Sounds wonderful.